Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Coach Kelly.
How are you, Coach Kelly?
I'm doing good.
Are you?
Yeah.
You have a smile on your face.
I know. I'm really excited.
What's happening?
I'm really excited about our guest today. We'll get to that, but I think that's really what it comes down to. Yeah. We have Sonia Fitzpatrick today, so I'm super excited. But no, the week was good. Trying to think if anything exciting happened. I don't know. It was sort of, maybe it was good to just sort of lay low for me. Everything was okay. How about you?
Exhausting and invigorating, but good. Had
okay,
the
good.
A bit of a family trip.
Yes, how was that?
It was good. We went up, Chris and I went up on Thursday night up to Paso Robles, which was about halfway up to San Francisco.
Yes.
I am just not good in the car. But it was my mission this time that I was going to do most of the driving. I'm not a good city driver, and I don't like being in the car for very long. And I get really fidgety, so I'm always playing with my phone or emails or doing something. And this time I thought, I'm going to try to chill out. I'm going to do the driving. And it was really good for me. It was a really good test of my getting comfortable. I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when I went to visit my daughter. I get lazy. I'm not used to doing driving on long trips or doing that all by myself. So it was fun. So Christopher was like, are you sure? I can drive. I can drive. I'm like, no, I want to do this. So I drove there. And then we decided to go to Monterey. I don't know if you've been to Monterey.
Yeah. No, I haven't been. Yeah.
Oh, it's so beautiful. And then on the way up to from Monterey, we stayed at a friend's house who lives in Morgan Hill.
Oh, cool.
And then we went from Morgan Hill to Palo Alto for the day and had lunch there. And it was really, really, really pretty. Oh, my gosh, you will not believe this. So, you know how I'm always looking around for new places to live, some place to go in the future. So I have my Santa Fe place, but I still, like, I'm really like a fickle person.
Yeah.
I see someplace else and go, oh, well, maybe I can figure out how to do that. So Palo Alto was just so speaks to me, so adorable. It's got city life, like urban, but it's much more suburban than it is urban, but it has a little element of that. And so we went and we walked by an open house. Two-bedroom apartment conversion about two blocks from the center of town.
Yeah.
Okay. About 850 square feet.
I don't even want to know. Like 2 million. Like it's crazy.
Well, not quite that bad, but $950,000 for a box.
It's, well, that's insane.
Crazy.
The Bay Area. Remember, I was looking in the Bay Area before L.A.
L.A.
And it was outrageous.
Insane.
Well, especially Palo Alto for sure. But it's like a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy. It's not even San Fran. Like, I feel like I could understand San Fran, like a city. You know, it's kind of hip. No. It's like suburban, you know?
Oh, but, my gosh. It was crazy. I'm like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Onward and upward.
But it was cute. So I had never been there. I'd never spent time there.
Yeah.
And then up to San Francisco and spent with my niece and her boyfriend and my sister and Chris and me. We all kind of hung out for 2 days there.
Nice.
And then drove back exhausted yesterday. Yeah. And
that's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a fun trip. It was good.
Good.
It's always interesting to see how family dynamics stir different things up. And then I also ended up having dinner with my cousins, who I haven't seen in a really long time either. So it was like a huge
family event.
Thing. Yeah.
So speaking of family, maybe this is a good segue to talk about our guest
last
week.
Yeah. She was so sweet. Such a delightful lady.
She was great. So we had on Misty B, who is a writer, filmmaker, recovering codependent, and she wrote the book, If You Leave Me, Can I Come With You? I love the title. So it was really great. It was really awesome to talk about, you know, from her viewpoint, who's really been through this, codependency, what that looks like, what it's like growing up with alcoholism and, you know, other issues that basically make you feel codependent.
Yeah, and the impact of having a narcissistic parent one's experience in the world and how challenging it was, and her multiple losses, losing both of her sisters, her mother and her father to addiction. Very, very powerful woman, though, to be able, she's so soft-spoken too and so sweet and funny. It was just like really nice to have somebody be able to put a sense of humor on this big fancy word that we throw out there all the time, codependency. Yes. Like, is it codependency? It's like having the plague?
Yeah,
or is
exactly.
it a good thing? You know, and how many different meanings and nuances it can have for people.
Yeah. So. No, I even needed like a schooling in it. Like, what exactly does it mean? But I liked her whole vision about, you know, really kind of putting humor in this really delicate and sort of like hush-hush topic. So I really appreciated that. I thought she did a great job. So
Me too. And I know you're just sitting there.
I'm dying.
Like, you're like
just
a
like,
little ant. Spilkas, we call them in Yiddish.
Oh, yeah,
ants in the pants.
Pants.
Yes.
Yeah,
all
exactly.
right. Let's do it.
All right.
Let's bring on our new guest.
I'm so
excited.
You do
the intro.
Okay. So this week we have Sonia Fitzpatrick, who is the most widely regarded, experienced, and trusted animal communicator in the world. Her extensive work helping animals handle adversity has distinguished her as an expert in the field of animal communication. Sonia's passion for animals and her understanding of the critical role they play in our lives provides a unique perspective on the way we need to interact with all of the animals in our world. She's the author of 3 books and animal communication and hosts a weekly radio show on Sirius XM called Animal Intuition. Welcome, Sonia.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be on your show.
We're so excited.
Sonia, if you're okay, we're going to invite our listeners to call in if they'd like. So we're going to give out that number.
Of course.
Which is
yes.
good.
Yes, of course.
323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. This is Dr. Deborah and Coach Kelly. And our special guest today, Sonia Fitzpatrick. Oh, my gosh. We have so much
I know.
We want to ask you.
So where should we start? Should we start with our own pets or... You tell us, Sonia.
Well, you know, it's whatever, however you want to do it, please do. You know, I can talk a little bit and tell you about how I first learned to communicate with animals.
Yes,
I would
definitely.
Love to know that. That sounds great.
Yes, it's because I, as a little girl, I was born with a severe hearing loss, and I didn't speak till I was 5. And I was fortunate enough to grow up in the country, so I had animals all around me, and the animals talked me their language. That's how I learned it.
Oh,
and then you know, so that's how it started. And I also was born quite psychic too, and I had a wonderful grandmother who used to say, be careful what you say because they'll think you're balmy, which is it. So, you know, it was like right from being a little girl, it was like natural to me to talk to animals.
Uh-huh.
And loved it, and loved them, too. I had a great love of animals, too.
Oh, so you're like a real-life Dr. Doolittle.
I suppose I am.
That is one of my favorite movies of all time, the idea that someone could talk to animals. It's just such a desire of me. So what do you think that is about you? I mean, you said how it started, but are you just gifted in a way that's different than other people?
This is Dr. Deborah. This is the most fascinating thing. People think they don't speak to animals, but all animal lovers are close to their animals, and many people love them more than the actual people that they're living with and people around them. And, you know, so it's like talking to animals, people are all doing it without realizing how the language works.
Yeah.
We're literally, because we can speak verbally, we don't think about what else is happening because we can make ourselves understood.
Mm-hmm.
But animals, your emotions, you're all transmitting out like with magnetic fields running through the physical body, animals too, and magnetic fields running throughout the universe, you literally, the animal's language travels that way. So if I was like, now I'm with you on the radio show, anyone called in, I literally pick up one of those magnetic field lines, the energy from the human companion, and they tell me what animal, what it is or what it isn't, and the name, because it gives me a quick connection with them, and I'm away, and that's how the language works, and you're all doing it but not understanding that you're doing it.
That makes sense. I believe that, and I absolutely believe that
because they literally speak with images. And if I was to say to you, could you tell me where the Statue of Liberty is, you get an image, don't you? Not you get a picture.
Uh-huh.
But it's not like you see with the physical eye.
Yes, right.
And then you also, your feelings and emotions are transmitting out because we have magnetic fields through our body. So the animals you're living with are feeling everything you're feeling. If you're feeling sad, they know it.
Uh-huh.
If you're happy, they know it. If you're going away, they know it. So all these are transmitting out. And if you put the right feelings and emotions with the images, because you don't realize, even if we're going to think, oh, we're going to a restaurant, we're putting the image out of that restaurant. You have a connection with them no matter where you go. You all have a private telephone line. That's what I call the magnetic field lines. With them, no matter where you are, they can hear you.
That's
it's
so
a silent
nice.
Language,
it's
but
so
they
nice.
Hear you.
It's so comforting. I know I was reading on your website that you do a lot of work with people with grieving the loss of their animals to give them some sort of comfort.
Yes, you know, that's why I, Dr. Deborah, that's why I wrote the last book. And also autistic children speak this way, and I speak to autistic children too.
That's
They're
so
exactly
nice.
The same. The ones that have no speech, they speak telepathically.
Yes, I believe that
too.
I've seen some amazing videos on YouTube about autistic children who are nonverbal but can communicate either through a computer or some other way, musically.
Yes.
So true. I feel like we don't give enough people credit because we just think of talking in the traditional sense, but there's so many other
ways. Yes, Dr. Deborah, they're also so smart. All of them.
Oh,
it's just they get so frustrated because they can't express what they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've spoken to people who have wonderful children because they are wonderful. They're all special. And things just like, why do they give me these horrible plastic plates when they're eating off china? And they'll throw them on the floor trying to get through to the parents that they don't want these horrible plates anymore.
Yes.
That they want their hair long or they want shoes like other children because often parents do things that are easier like Velcro shoes and that's not what they want.
Right.
You know, so all these things are very frustrating for them. And it's the same with the animals too because they get frustrated. Sometimes, like a cat will, you know, sort of urinate, suddenly start urinating for some reason. You can't work out why it is, but there's always a reason why their habits change. And the only way they can get through to you because they haven't got the faculty of speech is to behave in some way.
Yeah, right.
Like to let you know, hey, I'm hurting or something's going on.
Right.
They're very intelligent.
So, okay, so do most psychics, the psychics that I know typically cannot speak with animals. It seems very separate. So is it rare that you can basically read both people and animals?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I have done all sorts of work. In England, I worked with the police, and it was so depressing. And animals don't carry any baggage at all, and they're usually very honest and straight. Whereas, as you know, people aren't always this way.
So true.
And they're lovely to work with because they make me happy. And, you know, unconditional love is incredible how it goes through to everything with animals. It's a pity we're not all the same way.
I know. Oh, it's so true.
Okay, can we just dive into our own pets?
Sure.
We just want to be completely self-absorbed in this show.
Yes,
that's okay.
Exactly.
All right, you want to go first?
Sure.
You want me to go?
I'll go first.
Okay, Kelly's going to coach Kelly.
Okay, so do you want me to tell you the name of my pet?
Yes, I do, and what they are, cats, dogs, monkeys, mice, whatever.
So I feel like it's human, but it's really a dog, and his name is Moose.
Moose, okay. Now, what questions do you want to ask about Moose?
I guess.
Always have a question ready because they're, you know, think about the questions and what you'd like to know or what you'd like to know about Moose.
Okay. Yeah, I have it. Do you want me to say it out loud?
Does Moose get a bit nervous sometimes? What is it he gets nervous of?
I'm trying to think.
Is that the only animal you have?
That's correct.
Well, her two children might qualify.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, right. Okay. And do you have any animals in spirit?
I do not, no. I have a hamster.
Okay.
A hamster when I was little.
Okay, no, that's not what I'm picking. I'm just picking that sometimes there's a little nervousness around some situation.
Okay, I could see that. It might be the kids.
Okay, and what would you like me to ask me about Moose? Because I'll ask him and he'll tell you.
Yes, exactly. So I feel like, he's now 10, and I feel like I've seen a change in energy the last year or so, and I'm wondering, I can't tell whether he's just getting older or is he depressed?
Oh, no, he's not depressed. There's so many things going on all the time. And he's very sweet and he's very loving. And he says everybody loves him. There isn't anyone who doesn't love him. And when did you change his food or give him something different to eat?
Probably. I mean, I would say maybe about 6 months ago or something. And it wasn't so recent.
Yeah. He wondered why. No, he'll ask you questions from more than 6 months ago. He wondered why.
I felt like he was getting bored with this article.
Okay. Now then, let me tell you, he has got a bit of arthritis, and his legs ache a bit sometimes with Moose. And he said that your home is not boring.
Oh, good. That is true.
He said he's not bored. He said, and where does he see a cat, a black cat? Is it outside?
I haven't seen that. That's interesting. I have not seen that. I wonder if he has, but I haven't seen
that.
Well,
when did he go to another house, or you had a change of house?
We moved about a year and change ago.
Yes. It was at the other house, he said.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. That could make sense.
Was there a black cat?
It was at the other house, and he used to see it regularly, he says. He doesn't see cats like he used to in the new house. And the floors are very different, he tells me, in the other house he moved to, this one you have now.
That is true. That is very true.
He says they're very different. Where did you have the beige carpet?
Oh, my God. This is crazy. I'm dying. This was my old house. Yeah, I had a carpet.
Yes, he said. He liked that beige carpet. It was comfortable to lie on, and he slips all over the floors now.
Yeah, I can see that. That is hilarious. Yes. So then
he says,
does he need a bed?
Put some rugs down to help him walk around better.
Yes, okay. Okay.
Says, thank you. We'd really appreciate that, he tells me.
I love it.
He said he'd really appreciate it. It would make him a lot more comfortable. And he said he's allowed to go anywhere in the house.
That guy is the king of that house. We love him.
He feels he's very loved, darling. I'll tell you that. And he when did you change or give him some food on a different dish or on the floor? Or when you gave him something differently rather than his normal dish?
I'm trying to think if we've done that.
Giving you perhaps letting him eat off one of your dishes or the kids.
Yeah, we do that all the time. Yeah, he is like a member of the family, so he can lick off our plates and everything.
He loves it. He wonders why he can't have one of those all the time.
That's
very nice. He said, I don't know why I can't have one. And he loves the fact that you do that.
That is so funny. He's a pig,
that guy.
He loves it. That's so funny.
And he loves also ice cream. He said, you know, he's had a lick of ice cream odd times.
Yeah, he's not so picky. He's an eater.
No, he says, I'm a good eater. I'm a very good eater.
Yeah.
And when did he have a right back leg problem?
Oh, God, let me think. I hope it doesn't bother him now. I'm just thinking.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. He needs a chiropractor. His back's wants putting in a bit. His back's out of alignment.
Oh, really? Okay, so they have like an animal chiropractor.
Yes, he does.
Okay.
His back's just out of alignment a bit.
Okay, I can fix
that. He said it sometimes affects his right back leg. He's the happiest dog, though. He just gets on with everything.
Oh, that's so good. I'm so glad to hear
that. Where are you thinking of going in the future?
I don't have any plans. Why? Does it seem that... Is he worried that we're going to move again or something?
No. He seems to think you like where you are.
Yeah, we do. We're
happy. Yeah, he says you like where you are. He doesn't think you're thinking of moving. It was too much of a hassle for you, he said.
That is true. Very true.
He said, so have you been thinking of a holiday, or your children have been thinking of going somewhere?
Yes,
or your
husband? We have thought about going back east over winter break.
Okay, because he says, will he be coming with you?
Oh, my God, that's so weird, because this has been, like, stressing me out. I don't think so, only because it's so cold in the winter, and I feel like I don't even know if he's going to want to do that.
Let me tell him that. He says he'll look after me then.
You have any idea? I wish it were you, Sonia. I'd ship him out to you.
I do, too. He's lovely.
He's a great
boy. And he says, I'm very well behaved in the house, too.
He is the best dog on the planet.
Yeah, he says, I'm very well behaved. And I think I'm quite good with other dogs as well.
Oh, that's so cute. Oh.
And when did you do something with your hair?
Did I do something? I got it highlighted. Maybe about...
He thinks it looks really, really nice, he said. And he sits staring at you. He said, sometimes I just sit staring at my mom.
We like have a love affair, Sonia, and only you could understand this. Like, sometimes I'm like, I think he was a lover of mine in a past life. Like,
yeah, well, you're jolly well right. He probably was, because we've all been with our animals in past lives. And we've been in animal form, a lot of animals, people.
So
and they've been in human form. And your dog doesn't even think he's a dog.
No, he doesn't. He really honestly doesn't.
You don't treat him like it, you see. You treat him like one of the children.
He came out of my vagina, Sonia. Like, I'm going to be straight up with you. He's my only vaginal birth.
That would have been an easier birth than giving birth to a child. I tell you, that would have been easier.
That's true, especially with my births.
You feel that, don't you?
Yes.
And the connection. So many people have connections with animals that they sort of, a lot of people do understand understand what their animals are thinking. There are people who say to me, I almost know what they're thinking and feeling. And you mentioned that you felt this about something. Well, that's absolutely key, because you do, so you tune in and you feel what they're feeling sometimes.
Yes.
It's not just body language.
It's so true. Well, I'm so happy to hear that. So he's not really depressed. Is there anything that he wants me to know or that he's wanted to tell me? Anything you're picking up?
Yes, he says, why do you rush all the time?
Oh, my God, that is so,
so
mean.
True.
I'm dying.
He says, rush.
That is...
He said, you do rush all the time. And he said, sometimes if you sit down, then you get up again.
I'm dying.
He said, Dad sits down, he sits down. But if you sit down, you're getting up all the time.
This is so true. I'm dying.
And he wondered why that was.
I think because there's always so much going on in my house. Like, you know, I've got two young kids, two boys.
Yes.
So it's like there's always stuff to be done, to be cleaned up. And sort of, you know, I relax at night when I can kind of turn it all off. But in the day, I'm like a Energizer bunny.
But he says that Dad really relaxes.
What? When I sit down, he relaxes?
He really relaxes, he says.
Yeah.
So I tell him, you're always having too busy to look after him and the children, and they always need things, and that's why you run around so much.
Yes, exactly.
It sounds like maybe a couple minutes a day to just sit
with Moose
and just rub his little head and give him love would be very appreciative.
Yeah. We meditate together sometimes.
And he said he likes going in the car.
Yeah, he does like
Who has a cream or white car?
We used to have a white car, but now we have...
Oh, did you really like that car? And who has a silver gray one?
God, I don't know who has got a silver gray one. We both have black now.
Yeah, he likes the... Somebody has a silver gray one. Is it someone who visits with you?
I'm thinking...
So he just sent me a picture of one. He sent me a picture of a cream car that he liked to go in.
Oh, that's so funny.
Did your parents rent a car
when
they were
here? He goes in one of the darker ones more than the other.
Okay, I have to think about that. That is so funny. I like that he sent you a picture over. It's like instant email.
Yeah, and also he wants to know who's going to be looking after him then if you're going away.
Yeah, so ask him. Okay, this is a great question. We used to take him to a place near the airport because I have not found a great pet sitter. And he really loved this place when he was younger, but I don't know if it's going to be too active for him. And can you ask him if he'd want to stay there? It's called Five Star Doggy Hotel.
Yeah, he says it's very nice there, but it's very busy, he said. Busy.
Yes.
Dogs.
Yes.
Lots of dogs.
So does he not want that? Would he rather...
No, he said he liked it there.
Yeah.
But he doesn't... He objects sometimes to dogs jumping on him and bumping him.
Okay, I could see that. So does he want me to have somebody come to the home?
He said, would they be staying with me all the time?
Yeah, I would make sure of it, yeah.
Oh, well, that's fine, he said. That's okay, too, he said. He loves his home.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
And where's his blue blanket or his blue bed?
A blue blanket or a blue... He's got a green blanket.
Yeah, but where's the blue one? He said he had a blue one at one time.
I'll have to think about that. I don't know if he had a blue...
Think about it.
Okay.
Or he had a blue towel, something that he lay on.
Okay, I'll have to think about that. Maybe since the move, we've gotten rid of a couple things.
He said you changed a few things and you like the kitchen.
That's true.
He's got lots of food.
Mum loves the kitchen. And you like the countertops too, he said.
I love him. He's so cute.
Yeah, he said Mum really loves him. I like the kitchen as well, he said.
Oh, so cute.
Sweet.
He said, I like it too. He said, and some things you cook better than others.
Not a whole lot of good, but luckily he'll eat it. He's not picky, thank
God. Yeah, he loves it when you cook for him. And he likes chicken, he said.
He loves chicken. He does love chicken.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, good. Okay, fantastic. Anything else? Any last parting words from my beloved Moose?
He's a pretty happy dog, isn't he? And
yeah.
I mean, he's easy. He's lovely. He's easy.
Yes.
He's easygoing and he's sweet.
Very
And he's well-mannered.
For sure.
And where does he see a little dog?
A little dog. Well, my mom's dog passed over and it was a little Yorkie. Could it be?
Yeah, he loved that dog.
Oh, he's seeing that dog?
Yeah, they communicate together.
Oh,
they communicate together. And that little dog said he hung on as long as he could.
That is the truth.
He said, I hung on as long as I could, he said. And when did he have a bit of trouble with his stomach or digestive system?
Who, my dog or the dog that passed?
Well, it's one or the other because they're both talking right now.
She activated the other one.
That's so funny.
Yes, you did.
That is so
you
funny.
You did.
You know, once in a while, my dog will just, Moose, will just sort of throw up randomly, and I can't quite figure it out.
Sometimes dogs do that.
Okay.
They do. They don't. And sometimes cats do too, you know. And often with cats, it could be the food or they eat too quickly.
Okay. Then maybe that's what it is. Okay.
And you can get, if they do eat too quickly and you find that you've got listeners that have cats or dogs like this, you can buy a special dish that they can eat round for dogs and cats that eat fast and throw up again.
Yes.
But I think, you know, at times my dogs don't throw up often, but sometimes they do.
Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, great. And
okay,
then
you don't get to hog all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Go on, one more.
So Deborah's going to kill me, but one more question.
But I would get hold of an animal chiropractor and just get his back.
Okay, checked out. Okay, I will do that. Final question, because I know Deborah's going to kill me. So the dog that passed over was named Marty. It was my parents' dog. Is there anything that Marty wants to tell? My mom is so upset. She lost this dog.
Oh, darling, people don't get over their animals dying. They really don't. People say, you know, I can't get over it. I don't think one ever does unless they reincarnate and come back. And this little dog and her were very bonded.
Yes.
And Marty said that she used to take him with her sometimes if she could.
Yes, exactly.
And I loved it, he said.
Yes.
And he said that he was always her dog, and he always went on her side no matter what was going on. He always agreed with everything she said and everything she did. And she kissed him on the head, he said. And he didn't have one name. He had lots of names.
Oh, that's so funny.
And there was one particular toy that he liked. He didn't play with all of them, he said.
I could see that.
And there was, and he said, and where was the squeaker he had?
Oh, I think he did have a squeaker. I wasn't living at home with them when they had him, but I'm sure he did.
But that's why it's always good to talk to the person. But he's a talker, and he was very happy, and she adored him, and he adored her.
Oh, so sweet. Okay, I'll pass it on. She'll be very happy.
Did she have a silver gray car?
Did she? Let me think. Did she have a silver
at any time?
Gray car. I'm thinking. Yes, she does.
Thank you. He said it was his car. He used to go in that all the time. And tell her that he still does. And he goes everywhere with her, he said.
Aww.
He said that she likes, she's very particular about shoes, my mother.
That is true.
She likes them to look nice, but she likes them comfortable.
Yeah, I could see that. So
she's
cute.
She's particular about her hair, too, he said.
That is true.
She likes that to look nice all the time.
Yes,
Marty
exactly. He's so cute.
That's so cute.
Yeah, he's lovely. He's chatting away, and he goes everywhere with her. So please tell her to talk to him. And he said she's kept all my things.
Yes.
Aw, so sweet. So neat.
If you
just tuned in, you're listening to Dr. Deborah and Coach Kelly and our awesome guest, Sonia Fitzpatrick, and she is here communicating with our animals. Is it my turn?
Yes, go for it. Deborah's dying, so we're gonna pass it over.
Now, are you able to just switch gears like that, or do you need a moment?
Yes, darling, of course I am.
Okay, so I have to be selective here because I have a long history of cats. I am a cat.
You're a cat lover.
Yes, and I'm convinced that I was a cat in another life because I am drawn to them.
Yes, you were.
I was?
Yes, you were. And not one life, a few lives. We've been, you know, animal lovers have all been in animal forms. That's why they understand them so well.
That makes
sense. Do we know what kind of cat I was?
When did you have an orange cat?
Oh, that was when I was a teenager.
Mm. Yeah, it's coming through. It's in spirit. It's coming through. What was the name of that cat?
Morris.
That orange kitty.
Morris. Yes, he was a huge tabby cat. And this was the biggest pain of my life was my mother when we moved to Pacific Palisades. And it was my 18th birthday. And my mom said that we have to leave the cat out on the porch. And there were coyotes in the area. And I said, no, Mom, please. No. Can't. I'll keep the cat in my bathroom. And it was devastating. We went out to dinner and I came home and the cat had been eaten by a coyote. I cried for...
God, and you know, you never forget things like that. People live with that all their lives.
Horrible.
Because it's such a tremendous... when you have that tremendous connection and you love them so much, it's devastating. You never get over it, do you? Dr. Deborah. You never get over it.
Is he saying something to me now?
Yeah, he said he wants you to know he goes with you everywhere. He says he's never left you. He came out of his body. He's in his energy form, and he goes everywhere with you.
Oh, he's such a special cat. It was the only cat my father ever allowed me to have because he was afraid of cats. And this cat
A lot of people are. Yeah. They're worried about allergies and things, you know. And but there are a lot of people that love them too, like you.
Oh, what a sweetheart. And then I had a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde brothers. Do you see anything with them?
Oh, they're lovely names.
I love the name. It's great.
Do you see anything with them or hear anything?
Yes. And who do you have now?
Oh, my two little love bugs. I have...
Because they're talking and they just said to me, stop talking to those cats in spirit and talk to us. Stop talking to all those. You're supposed to be talking to us, they tell me.
Okay, let's give them a chance because they are so cute. These are my two little black and whites, Bobby.
They're lovely. And they love each other, too. They get on well together, they say.
Oh, so well. So Bobby, also known as Puppy Cat because he thinks he's a dog, and Prowler is the brother. And they're same litter mates, and they are awesome. Oh. They are 10 years old.
What, the dogs? You've got two dogs as well?
No. Bobby, who is the kitty, is also nicknamed Puppy Cat because he thinks that he's...
Oh, right. He likes that name.
He does, yes. Mm-hmm. He comes to me when I call him. When I come to the door, when I come home, both of my cats unusually sit at the door and meow for me. They are talking
to me.
Well,
they know you're coming, you see. Yes. You're already ahead of time because telepathic communication works that way. And what's the name of your other one?
Prowler.
Prowler. Oh, he's very sweet, too.
Oh, yeah.
He's a bit Bobby. He's a bit bossy, Bobby Cat said.
That's so funny.
Yeah, that would be true. Well, Prowler's a bit on the larger side. He's a couple pounds larger.
And he said, but Bobby said he's a bit bossy, but I love him, he said. We keep close sometimes. We get close to each other sometimes, he said. Aww.
Yes, they do. They snuggle all the time. They're really awesome.
Yeah, they love it. We get close to each other, and we love each other, and we talk all the time together. And the animals in spirit, they know they're there all the time. All your cats in spirit.
So when they
know
when
and
they
communicate
all end up,
with them.
When they all end up together, are they going to be buds?
Oh, darling, your soul, all the souls go back to the same place.
Yeah.
So they, yes, you know, they meet, when you go over to the other side, you meet all the souls you've known in past lifetimes as well as this. And there's records and everything over there, so you know exactly what you've done in different lifetimes. When you go over to the spiritual realm, that's where there's peace, love, and joy. It's here where all the hell is, everyday living.
It's true.
It is. You know, over there, it's like... And, of course, you know, with animals, they just accept everything. They're so easy.
Yeah.
Whereas with people, they get into the drama and everything. I always try and stay out of the drama. And, you know, they often create, we all create our own lives. And people can get into the drama, and then life does become, annoying if you do that. Well, sometimes all it takes is, you know, Dr. Deborah, is to change your mind about some things, isn't it?
That's right. True. So I have a specific question for you about them because they're very, very, very loving. They've become much more friendly with other people. Puppy Cat has had a little bit more of a challenge accepting other people, but they're very, very loving. But the one thing that started is we had these three little girls that live next door. They always like to come over and play with the kitties. But sadly, Puppy Cat, who didn't like to necessarily be fondled by other children if he wasn't awake yet, startled him a few times. And he started to hiss, and he's never, they would never had hissed before. Now, when they're not around, they play hiss at each other, the two cats, because that's what cats do. But I'm a little worried about, was he traumatized at all by these kids? Is he going to be okay? Is he going to recover?
Well, he says they move so quickly.
Yes.
He said they move really quickly. And he's very sensitive, too. And they feel static. from us. You know, lots of people will say, why does my cat bite me? Yeah. Well, they feel static. When children, they move quickly. And some animals, literally, they can feel that static on their physical bodies, like we can. Mm. And so it's unseen. So he's telling the child, keep away from him. That's the only way he knows of doing it. And he prefers them not to come, he says.
Well, it's a good thing they moved away.
Exactly. I think to myself, oh, God, they're here again.
That's so funny.
He said, I prefer them not to come in. It's much easier without them, he goes.
That's so funny. Well, they all moved away to Colorado, so.
That's good.
He won't be seeing them too often, but they were adorable. I mean, they really were sweet to the cats.
Lovely children. Yes, cats, you know, they're wonderful with children, but other cats aren't so good. They're also different cats. That's what's so fascinating about them. They're also very different, aren't they?
Yes.
I mean, I've got nine rescue cats.
God.
And I don't think any of them really like each other. Any of them.
Right.
But they live together.
Yeah.
And they rub along together.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So does Prowler and Puppy Cat, they have different times in which they will bite. That some of it seems like love nibbles, which says, please pet me more. And other times they do bite like an annoyance. And I'm trying to teach them not to, but I don't know if I'm supposed to be teaching them not to do something that's...
Oh, I love that. Well, if anything bothers you, try and teach them not to. For instance, if they bite you a bit too hard sometimes.
Yes, and what is the protocol?
You need to let them know that. Mm-hmm.
I say no, and I stop petting them when they do that, but it doesn't seem to be working. They seem quite stubborn about it. Is there a different method?
Yeah, you know, because they're experiencing lots of different feelings and emotions from you, and sometimes you'll find that a cat will go on your side, or you know, I always say to people, don't ever say this is my cat in a household with a family, and this is your cat. That's not good, because it divides them up. They belong to all of you as a family. I'm not saying that about your cats, but I'm just putting that out there. It's not a good thing to do, because if you do that, sometimes if the other person annoys you, they will go and bite at them. Sometimes they'll do that.
Interesting.
Because they're sort of your cat, and you make them feel that they're very special, and they just devote themselves to one person. But your cats like everybody, they're telling me, in the family.
That's good.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
They say they like everyone in the family. And they say, and who has back problems? Humans.
I do.
You get backache sometimes.
I have back problems, yes.
Yeah, they worry about your back problems, they're telling me. They wonder if you're going to be all right. They both worry about your back.
Aw, they're very sweet.
Let me tell them that you know, we understand why they're worried, and that's okay, because no matter what they're feeling, always acknowledge that they're feeling that, or they have bad behavior. Acknowledge the bad behavior and tell them, look, you know, and then I understand you doing this, but please don't.
Okay.
And but always acknowledge whatever they're doing. But I'm acknowledging that you have the back problems, and I'm telling them that, you know, that happens sometimes, and, you know, you can take care of that.
And tell them
that lots of people don't get it, and lots of animals get problems, too, with their backs.
Right. Tell them I am taking care of it.
That's what worries them.
And my back is actually getting better because I am taking good care of it chiropractically and alternative methods. So you can let them know that I'm doing my part to stay around for them, happy and healthy.
That's so sweet.
And when did you change something on your bed, like the top of your bed, or put something different on there?
Just regularly changing sheets, but nothing really.
No, there was something else you had on your bed at one time, they said. Was it a counterpane or a duvet or different something that was different?
I can't think of anything. It's been a pretty
stable... Because they're just asking, where is it?
Oh, there was a... Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. They like to suckle blankets.
Yes.
Yes. So I used to put a blanket at the edge of the bed, but they ruined all the blankets because they suckle them.
Oh, my God. That's so
bad. Well, they wondered where they were. Why isn't that happening now, they said.
All right. So I should just give them another suckle blanket.
Yes.
Just
eat the 15. I told them you will. Oh, thank you. Thank you, they said. They've missed it so much.
That is so cute.
Okay. Do they have a favorite color? Because they had three different colors.
Yeah, they said that you like a bit of color around the place.
So I can keep switching out the colors. Just
yes, you can. And they said that you also like color. Mum likes color, they said.
I
don't want dull old white.
That's so funny.
That's so cute.
Oh, God, this is so adorable.
They are the cutest.
But they miss that. They miss that.
Okay, well, that's an easy fix.
You know, sometimes it's like, it gives them comfort. Does that make sense? It gives them a bit of comfort.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, sillily, I think sometimes people do things with their pets because they worry that other people will think it's like bad behavior. The truth is I never care that they're grown cats and they want to suckle on blankets.
No,
it makes them
happy. Matter. It's comforting to them. And yes, they're so thrilled that you're going to put them back.
Okay, so I will definitely do that.
So cute.
Thank you, they said.
Oh, you're welcome, you're welcome. How about an exchange,
you'll
stop biting?
Yeah, exactly.
Ask them if in exchange they get the blankets and they can stop biting me.
It's a good deal.
They stop what, darling? What are they doing to you?
They'll stop biting. If they stop biting.
Okay. Yeah, you know, the biting is static again.
Yeah.
It's like when we open the fridge and you can be petting your cat for a little while and then suddenly it'll bite you. And it builds up and it's unseen. And particularly on the bed, there can be a lot of static sometimes. Mm-hmm. So when you do, move very slowly around them.
Okay.
You know, really move slowly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because one of them bites a bit more than the other, it's telling me.
Yeah, puppy cat.
Yeah, one of them says, well, I bite more.
It's like proud. That's so
yeah, cool. I bite more. And Bobby says, no, I don't bite so much. But
that's so
Puppy Cat says, no. One of them literally feels static more than the other. And that's because they all have a network of nerves under the skin. And some of the nerves are more to the surface. And when you get a cat that feels things or is nervous, it's because of the nerves. So the other cats where they're nerves are embedded deep in the skin, you can stroke them and they don't feel it. They don't feel the static because their nerves are really deep in there. But what I call the ultra-sensitive cat will feel it. So every time you get a sharp bite, or it might be, sometimes they bite purposely. For instance, if you're combing them and they've had enough, they'll give you a little bite and then suddenly if you don't stop, they'll bite you hard to say that's enough. But with you, I think it's more static that they feel from you because there's more electricity going on around us than other times, sometimes.
Yeah. So I guess one other question I have is, are they ever sad that they're indoor cats because I've kept them indoors because I usually live in areas where there are, you know, my loss of the other cat to a coyote, that would just devastate me.
Well, the thing is, darling, there's so many dangers for them. And if you keep them in, you know they're safe.
Yes.
And obviously, you know, you can get all sorts of things for the yard. I have to say that I keep mine in too.
Yeah.
Because of the dangers for coyotes. And I have had feral cats that have lived outside. And in fact, I moved house and I thought when I move, they're staying in because there's so many dangers.
Yeah.
One got hit by a car before I was feeding them in the garage and I had to tame them and take time. But now I think if you're in a very safe area, okay.
Yeah.
But if you're not safe, and also I make sure when I had them indoor, outdoor cats, that I called them and they would come always like round about 3 o'clock. I would let them out in the morning and I'd call them about lunchtime and I'd make sure they came in and kept them in then. Mm-hmm. But now I keep them in all the time. And a lot of my cats are older, whereas when they're younger, they love being out and rushing up trees and climbing trees. You know, they love all of that. And there are some cats that couldn't live in a house.
Right.
They really couldn't do it because they've been feral. But a lot of cats settle in, and your cats understand why you keep them in.
That's
they know why you keep them in.
Yay. Okay, well, tell
and
them.
And one of them said, I can see, I've got a good view out the window.
Oh, yeah, they have a fun view, and we have a little bird bath, and the birds come and entertain
them.
Yeah,
they love it. They love it in there, and they seem to be very contented.
Good.
They are. They seem
they
to be
know
very
why,
contented.
They know why you're doing it.
Oh, good. Yay.
I have one final question I forgot to ask you, Sonia. Can you go back to Moose for a minute? Can you switch energies for a second?
Yes.
Okay, you good? Okay. I forgot to ask you, since a major question. Would Moose be okay if I got another dog?
Ooh.
Let's ask. Would it be a small dog, he says?
It would be the same size as him.
Oh, that's okay. He says, I don't want one bigger.
Okay.
And he said, would it be a puppy or would it be grown?
That's a good question. We haven't decided yet. I just wanted to make sure that it was okay with him.
Well, he said, you know, he said, and I'll tell him, it's always a good idea when you've got a new animal coming in and say to them, look, I've really, you know, tell them that he knows already you're thinking about getting one.
Uh-huh.
And say, I need your help in looking after them.
Oh.
And make them involve them. And when you say it, they understand what you're saying, too.
Yeah, okay.
And I always say to people, if you're going to get a dog, and there's two dogs, and they have one in the house,
uh-huh.
and they're going to get another one and bring it in, don't bring it straight into the house.
Yeah.
Take your other dog that's been with you for a while and the rescue dog. Take them both for a walk together outside before you bring that new dog into the house.
Yeah.
That way they know and they've enjoyed a walk together, and it's much easier to bring them onto the other dog's territory then than
right.
just coming in with one.
Like neutral ground.
That
yes.
is, I'm yeah. so glad you asked that question, because I've been thinking of getting a little puppy of a little dog. How is how is puppy, cat, and Prowler going to handle that?
They said they know you're thinking about it, and they almost think you've made your mind up about it.
Oh.
Okay. Are they going to be okay?
So they just were concerned that it would be a big dog.
No.
They
no.
didn't want a big dog.
No big dog. Little Pomeranian.
But once they knew that you're getting a smaller dog, would it be like your mother's dog, they said?
Like my mother's dog, sort of. That's interesting.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
Peggy was a Pekingese. I'm looking at a Pomeranian.
Yeah, would it be like that? Because that wasn't too big. But that was a bit rude, that dog, they said.
Was it?
Well, the dog had to live with Morris, the big orange cat. The big orange cat liked to play with the dog sitting on top of a chair
batting
the dog's little paw.
They want to know, could they? You see, the other animals all communicate with them that are over the other side.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's so funny.
That's great.
So I tell them, no, it wouldn't be a big dog. It would be one, you know, that would be around the same size as they are.
Yes, probably even
but
smaller than
would it look like
there.
That, they said. Would it look like that other dog? Would it have that nose on it?
No, a longer nose. They didn't like
Let me tell them. Oh, good, they said.
This is so
they like the longer noses.
That's so cute. Then they would love moose.
Oh, yes, and when will you be doing it, they want to know. When will you be bringing it home?
They sound excited about
Still
this.
Still very ambivalent, because I travel so much and I'm worried about having to take, you know, the dog. And
I know, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because you need to be there to house train him, don't
yes.
you?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell them you'll tell them when you're going to.
That's a good idea. I will tell them. How would I tell them?
Yeah, I'll tell them, you know, you're thinking about it at the moment, but you'll actually say to them, you know, oh, I really need your help because going to get the puppy. And they understand time if you're away from them. Like
uh-huh.
you said, that, you know, that you travel a lot. Mm-hmm. Dr. Deborah,
yes.
The thing when you're away, you've got them on your phone and the picture goes straight through to them, so you can talk to them. And when you tell them you're coming back, think of darkness and lightness and darkness and lightness, and they'll know. And then two darknesses and then one darkness, and they'll know when you're coming home.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, I love this.
Like an imagery. Yeah.
Yes, they'll know exactly when you're coming home.
Oh, my that's goodness.
Good.
Yay. That's so,
so
sweet.
Fun.
Oh, my gosh. What an amazing show.
Oh
Sonia, we have to go. It's
yes.
that time.
Yes, I know. And thank you so much for having me on. And my book, Cat Talk, will tell you exactly how to talk to cats. And it works with other animals, too.
Awesome.
So, you know, there's Cat Talk. And then the latest book that I did, There's No Sad Dogs in Heaven. Mm-hmm. I wrote that because people, it's the most devastating time when we lose mm-hmm. our animals
yes.
and have to say goodbye to that physical body.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I wrote the book because it really makes people understand that there really isn't any death.
Right.
It's just the physical body that dies.
Yes.
Well, and where can our listeners find you on the radio?
Oh, Sirius. It's on a Sunday from 4 to 6 Central Time.
Perfect.
And it's on Sirius XM, and it's 109.
Okay.
Wonderful.
I had 5,000 calls an hour, doctor. Okay.
I tried to get through to you one time, Sonia. I couldn't. I kept trying and trying.
Darling, people try sometimes for 6 months. We are such a high-called show.
It's
people
great.
Just cannot get through. through. But then you're lucky, and people have worked out if they call early, they'll get through. So I have people waiting when the show starts.
That's smart. Yep.
Awesome.
And you get right
awesome.
In.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it was so lovely talking to you. And any time, if you're stuck with your animal, just get hold of me.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you
so much. Exactly.
So thank you for tuning in.
Thank you so much.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in.
Really fast, next week, we're going to have Kim Gold, who is the creator of True Religion Gene. She's going to discuss her new book, Gold Standard. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.